Let's talk some more Alabama sports. Crimson Tide, known for putting great athletes at the next level, and not just football, but many other sports. And Steve Milberg has chronicled that in a book, which I call basically an almanac for Alabama fans on Crimson Tide sports at the university. It's called Gone Pro Alabama, Crimson Tide Athletes Who Became Legends. And Steve joins us now to talk a little bit about that. Good morning to you, Steve. Appreciate you being with us today.
Good morning. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, well, what? First off, I always ask this, what gave you the idea to maybe put a book like this together?
Well, actually, the publisher had the idea, and I'd done some work for the publisher previously, and they knew I was at least some kind of sports fan. We hadn't really done sports books before, and they asked me if I would be interested, and I said, yeah, sounds great.
A lot of books have been written about Alabama, but, you know, this is the first I think I've seen like this, and it is a great idea. The publisher had it on the, a good pick because it's – but, you know, you look at it, you think, well, it's Gone Pro Alabama. First, someone will say, was that about the state? It is talking about the University of Alabama. You've gone through all the sports at Alabama. But one thing right. You also did, too, is you just got so much information in here about – each sport. There's a lot more to it than just here's the players who have gone to the NFL or the NBA. Tell about what you put together. I know it had to take a lot of time and research.
Well, it was a lot of fun, and I, you know, certainly learned a lot about Alabama and about all the sports at Alabama, not just football, in putting the book together. It's about every sport in which an athlete in Alabama went on to the pros at the highest level, the Major League Baseball or the NFL, something like that. We've got golf, we've got basketball, baseball, and women's softball. Even George Wallace is even in the book.
Oh, yeah, boxing.
He was a boxer.
Yeah.
He was a Gold Gloves boxer, and he helped pay his way through law school with some pro fights on the side.
Yeah, I know that. It is interesting. Of course, football is at the forefront. There are 301 athletes as of the time the book was published who've gone on to the NFL. And that's really where it all starts, doesn't it, looking at the University of Alabama's great football tradition?
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, that's if you say Alabama or Crimson Tide anywhere in the country or in a lot of places in the world, that's the first thing that's going to come to mind. And it's certainly a great football tradition, and it goes back – you know, there are a lot of people in Alabama who think that football was created by Bear Bryant. And
again, before then, yeah.
It goes back a long ways, and there's been a great, great Alabama tradition going back to the 20s.
And you know, football started in 1892 at Alabama, but you mentioned there was success, great success by Wallace Wade and Frank Thomas.
Frank Thomas.
Yeah, at
sure.
Alabama. Had both of those 81% win percentage while at Tuscaloosa. One thing that you got as well, you go back to those years and the championships, and Alabama now counting the 15th after this year, you go by year and break down the championship, who gave it to them, who credited the Crimson Tide with those championships, and even some that they did not get, they could have maybe made at least an argument for. Talk about that, because there's so many that people outside of the University of Alabama circles would say, they act like they've got all these championships, but they really don't. What do you say to that?
Well, Alabama can make a legitimate claim to 19 national championships. The NCAA lists Alabama as winning or sharing 13 national championships right now. Alabama claims a couple more. One of those, frankly, 1941 is a little iffy.
I'm with you on that one. I've always said that was one they got. You know, someone gave it to it. Who was it? Holgate or
Holgate. It was Holgate. Yes.
They were 9-2 that season. Finished 20th, I guess, in the AP poll. But that one there, you almost want to throw out. But you could, with that one going out, you could also bring some more in. What you're talking about, there could be as many as 19.
Yeah, 1945, Alabama was 10-0, and there was one. The National Championship Foundation selected Alabama as the national champion. Probably Navy finished second. Army was first. 9-0. Navy was second at 7-1-1. But there's a legitimate argument there. There are arguments for
66. I would think has got to be one for sure after back-to-back titles in a perfect season.
Yeah. The 1977, the College Football Researchers Association thought Alabama deserved the national championship. Yeah, there are people who question the 15, and as we said, there's one that can be questioned, but you know there are others that could also be counted. So it's not. Even the NCAA, in its semi-official list, and the NCAA is very careful to distance itself and say, look, we don't make these ratings, other people do, but
yeah, right.
but the NCAA goes with 13. So even if you throw out the two that the NCAA doesn't count, that's a really impressive record.
It is. You know, when I look at this, and it's fun to talk about because you now nobody knows who Holgate was or some of these rating services, and everybody says, well, you go by the AP. But, you know, back then there were so many, and apparently when Alabama's Sports Information Department decided to list their championships, they went back and they took what they, I guess, assumed to be credible and came up with this list, which could have been, you know, you could shake it up and take a few out or put a few more in if you wanted, like you say. But
now, as I understand it, the gentleman who did – put together that list is very adamant that 1941, if you look at it closely, Alabama was the best team in the country. And I'm sure he's basing that argument on some strong, you know, Holgate agrees with him. It is fun to argue about.
Yeah, it definitely is. Now, one other thing I like about this, you know, you go through everything, the bowls, Alabama's record in those games and in all the national championships and the Iron Bowl scores, and there's also you pretty much listed what you think are the best players by position. Now, there was an all-century team that they did back in 1992 that I think they did was it a Namath and Stabler tie on that one or whatever?
I believe that was,
And you have listed – and you see, this is a pro book. This is gone pro Alabama. So you list – and those three and you know the third one I'm throwing in is Bart Starr, but Stabler, Namath, Starr – Alabama's most successful quarterbacks at the next level. You list Bart Starr as Alabama's all-star quarterback based on his pro career. Tell us why.
Well, the all-century team was based on how they did at Alabama. I was doing something a little different. I was basing my all-star team on how Alabama players did at the next level, as you said, in the pros. And Bart Starr, he lost the first playoff game he played in. He never lost another playoff game. The man was an amazing championship quarterback, and he won championships with teams a lot like Bear Bryant in that if you look at the teams, the Packers had some great players, but they weren't necessarily the most talented team in the league, but they played as the best team in the league. So in college, Bart Starr had a couple of problems. He was injured one year, and then he played under Ears Whitworth, who
yes,
decided that he wasn't good enough to start, which tells you a lot about Ears Whitworth and why he was the least successful coach in Alabama history. But based on what he did in the pros, and I'm not knocking Joe Namath or Kenny Stabler. They were great quarterbacks. Stabler, in particular, won a lot of games and championships in the pros.
Yeah.
But Bart Starr is, I think, a little bit better.
There are three great quarterbacks at the NFL level. You could have picked any of them. Now, I want to ask Trey here. He's an Alabama fan. Tell me some other guys at the pro level for Alabama that you think are on this all-star list by position. You got any other guesses?
Well, you got John Hanna.
John Hanna is obviously on there on the offensive front.
Yep.
Yes.
Let's see. Cornelius Bennett.
No, and he picked the other linebacker.
Derek Thomas.
Derek Thomas, yes.
Okay.
Now I kind of cheated in that I picked only one person at each position.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, so if you'd have said that,
certainly, if I would have picked three linebackers, Cornelius Bennett would definitely have been in there along with Leroy Jordan.
Well, Leroy Jordan, yeah.
Leroy, yeah. I was going to say Leroy, but I would have said Derek Thomas before then because Derek Thomas was the all-time leader and or had the most sacks in one game. So. Of course, that would have kind of put him above.
And this is, again, based on their NFL career. But running back, who do you think of at running back? As a pro player from Alabama?
Probably Tony Nathan.
At Miami, he is not. It is Sean Alexander, who did lead the league in rushing one season in the NFL. Here's the list, and I'll read it out here. What you put together, Steve, it's a pretty good list. Quarterback, Bart Starr, Sean Alexander at running back, the wide receiver, Don Hutson, tight end.
Ozzie
Newsome, of course. Then you got John Hanna at guard, Chris Samuels at tackle, the center, Dwight Stevenson, the kicker, Tommy Brooker. On defense, safety, Roman Harper, Mike Washington, the corner, the linebacker, we mentioned linebacker, Derek Thomas. Marty Lyons, the defensive end, defensive tackle, Jess Richardson. Bob Baumhauer, nose tackle, the punter, Chris Moore, and the kick punt returner, Javier Arenas. You also mentioned that the best overall is Don Hutson, and many say he changed the game, made it a modern game with bringing the receiver in and set more records than anyone else in the NFL history. That definitely won't be disputed either. So that's interesting to look at. But you do have play-by-play accounts, basically, of each player from the University of Alabama and football and the other sports. I want to ask a little bit about basketball. Because
sure.
There was a time, Steve, when right after Wimp Sanderson had completed his time in Tuscaloosa, that you had some players coming out of Alabama, where Alabama had a lot of players in the NBA, Latrell Sprewell, Robert Horry, Antonio McDice. There's been some great players from Alabama as well that have made it in the NBA.
There really have been. Gerald Wallace right now is certainly Antonio McDice. Latrell Sprewell is such an enigma, such a talented player, and it's one of those things where with him, sometimes your greatest strength is also your greatest weakness. The drive that he had, because when he was a kid, he wasn't that good a basketball player, and he made himself a basketball player, a great basketball player, through just sheer force of will, and sometimes that manifested itself in ways that were not the best for him.
Some moments P.J. Carlesimo would tell you about. But I had a class with Latrell Sprewell in college. I went to college the same time he was there. But the thing that I remember about Latrell Sprewell was how much better he got from his junior year to his senior year. He was a transfer. For Wimp Sanderson and that and just became the go-to guy. He was on that same team with Robert Horry, but that was a great basketball team, and he did become a great player at the next level. Who would you say, and I don't see a list here as far as NBA players, but I put you on the spot, is there a person or a player that you would say has had the most success in the NBA from Alabama?
I think you could talk about two or three guys. Latrell Sprewell, you could talk about Robert Horry, although Robert Horry in the NBA was never the star on the team. He was always one of the guys on the team.
Role
player.
Who could
do just about anything. If you needed him to score, he would step up and score.
And he has all those championships.
He ain't got it five or six.
I picked, actually, Gerald Wallace as the most talented, the best NBA player, but you can make an argument for Antonio McDice. If his knees had held up, who knows how he would have done. Latrell Sprewell, it's kind of, with a lot of these guys, it's kind of, he would be the greatest one, clearly, but with Latrell Sprewell, it was sort of some of the off-court issues. With Antonio McDice, it was the knees. With Robert Horry, he was on. Robert Horry's game was such an all-around game that people didn't realize how good he was until you start adding up all the championships that he had a big hand in. He could pass, he could play defense, he was a really team-oriented player, and that's one of the characteristics of Wimp Sanderson players. Wimp Sanderson turned out really solid, all-around players who were good at all aspects of the game.
And McDice could jump out of the gym. He might have been the most athletic guy I've ever seen at Alabama. One of the most highly touted, that'd be James Hollywood Robinson. But you bring up, Gerald Wallace, though. Talk about just underachieving at college. And he wasn't there long at Alabama, but he was so highly touted coming into Tuscaloosa, but then showed that he had the tools at the next level. He's been a good player in the NBA.
And I think that a lot of people wondered about his maturity in college and when he was going out that quickly, you really think you're after a not that great, very short career at college, you really think you're good enough at that level? But he did turn out to be the kind of guy who did not just coast on his abilities. He works really hard. His coaches have consistently tried to get him to stop hustling as much as he does, because he throws his body around so much that it takes a toll on him.
I'm looking at the list. You do have there Gerald Wallace, as you said, is the best all around. Antonio McDyess at center. The power forward is Wallace. Small forward, Robert Horry. Shooting guard, Latrell Sprewell. And one other we didn't really talk about, Mo Williams, who has had a good career and still in the pros at point guard. Let's move to baseball, all right? Alabama baseball, I think it's pretty easy to pick their best player of all time. And Dave Magonan, is that the obvious choice, who's had the best career, at least in the pros?
Well, there is one Alabama player in the Baseball Hall of Fame, and it's not Dave Magonan.
That's it. You go back further. I know who you're talking about.
It's a guy named Joe Sewell.
Yeah.
Came up. You know, this is part of the story that a lot of people don't know. Joe Sewell came up to the major leagues when Ray Chapman, the only man to be killed playing a major league baseball game, was killed in 1920 for the Cleveland Indians. He was their shortstop, and they called up Joe Sewell to play the rest of the season, and the Indians won the World Series that year. So Joe Sewell played the last month of the season and was a world champion, and played in the game, the World Series game with the Yankees, when Babe Ruth called his shot. He said he was going to hit a home run and then hit a home run on the next pitch. Dave Magonan was a great college player who the major leagues never quite really figured out what to do with, because he was a first baseman and third baseman, and those are usually power positions, but he was not a power hitter. He was a guy who got on base. He was a guy who had a high batting average and walked a lot. But he didn't steal bases, so they didn't really want to put him as a leadoff man. And he wasn't a power hitter, so you can bat him third or fourth. And the major leagues didn't really know what to do with him. He has now become extremely successful as a hitting coach with the Boston Red Sox.
Right. Yeah, modern era, I guess he still has to be, because Alabama just hasn't put any whole lot of all-stars, or really, when you think about it, in the modern day. They haven't.
No, not in the modern day. Alabama had a lot of players go into the major leagues in the 20s and 30s, and even before. I call him the greatest player you've never heard of, Del Pratt. He was the first Alabama player to go to the major leagues, and he was really a great second baseman during the dead ball era. His first year was 1912, but even real baseball geeks, a lot of times, have never heard of Del Pratt.
Great picture of him, by the way. I'm looking at that. There's Del Pratt.
Yeah.
That's a classic.
Kind of looks like a great Bambino there.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
that's a great shot right
well,
there.
Well, Steve, I wanted to ask you one question. If you had to pick the all-time best pro athlete that come out of Alabama, who would you pick?
Boy, that's a tough question.
and that's, I guess, period. You're asking for him, any sport?
Regardless of sport, the best.
Because if you go to somewhere like Auburn, you would say Bo Jackson.
There's not a doubt. But I just thought
Alabama
would
be tougher.
Great question.
You know who might have been the greatest athlete had he not torn up his knees, is Joe Namath.
Yeah.
Joe Namath was a great basketball player in high school. He could dunk the basketball. He was the Pittsburgh Pirates tried to sign him out of high school as an outfielder, as a right fielder. Bear Bryant said he was the greatest athlete that he ever coached. Bear Bryant said after he tore up his knee, Bryant said, "Now he moves like a human. He did move like a cat."
Yeah.
I'm not quite answering your question there.
No, I mean that's kind of what I would have said. I look at him and I look at Kenny Stabler and I look at Bart Starr. Those three, as far as pro athletes, and sitting back and looking at them, Bart did have a phenomenal career, but I don't know if you look at it as.
And you also could look back, they didn't play in the same era, and it's always difficult to compare, but it's not like Don Hutson, if you're talking football, at least.
Yeah.
And Don Hutson was tremendously athletic. He was a great sprinter. He had tremendous speed. He was he claimed that he never kicked a football in a game until he played for the Packers in the pros, and he led the NFL in extra points and field goals a couple times. And receivers are still running routes that he invented today.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to compare eras. If Don Hutson were playing today, he certainly wouldn't be as dominant as he was back then, because there's a lot more great athletes now. But I think one of the characteristics that he had was that he figured out way. He wasn't just, I'm fast, so I'm going to outrun everybody. He invented these routes. He figured out how to get open. He figured out what to do when they were double and triple covering him, and he still managed to lap everybody, frankly, in receiving. Mm-hmm. So he would definitely be a candidate. He just played so long ago that people don't remember anything but the numbers now.
Yeah. Well, I look at it at Joe Namath. Joe, you know, of course, the New York Jets and the AFC and the NFC, I think it was AFL, NFC, that, and him calling, you know, they're going to win the ball game. That's a great story there. You know, you look back at Kenny Stabler, you know, he was one of the most highest passing percentage quarterbacks in the NFL, you know, during his era also.
And not elected into the Hall of Fame, one that many people don't understand.
Yeah, that's definitely an oversight. You know, and Stabler was also a great athlete who had knee injuries. He got his nickname for a run that he made in high school where he snaked his way through practically the whole other team and scored a touchdown. So he was also a great all-around athlete until he started having knee trouble.
Yeah. I think I've seen some things on Kenny there, Snake, that he was a great basketball player. He may have went to the state championship in basketball also. Or a book that I've seen somewhere.
Okay.
But
well, there's one other I wanted to mention, and this is a guy who didn't play, but he called the games, Mel Allen. And one of my all-time favorites. You know, he was there, you know, from Alabama, and then he went to be a broadcaster for the Yankees. And you remember This Week in Baseball, one of the all-time greats right there. And I'm glad you put a bit in there about him as well.
He was, going to law school at Alabama. And he went to New York on vacation and auditioned at, I think it was CBS, more or less just for fun. And they invited him to come back. And he started his career from there.
How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was definitely a distinctive guy. You know, some of the modern play-by-play guys, you can hear recordings of, and you think, oh, wait, who's that guy?
Exactly.
Is that so-and-so or is that so-and-so? When you heard Mel Allen, there was never any doubt who you were listening
to. No mistaking. That's what made these guys so great. And he is one of the all-time greats that has ever been in broadcasting, I think. And it came from the University of Alabama. Well, Steve, this book is a must for any Alabama fan. I do highly recommend it. Appreciate you sending us a copy here. And give some details of how you can get it if people are looking for Gone Pro Alabama Crimson Tide Athletes Who Became Legends.
Well, it's available in most bookstores in Alabama. It's available online at all those usual online sources that I know I don't have to tell you about. There's also a special hardcover edition at Alabama Booksmith in Birmingham. It's the only place that has hardcovers, and they're all signed by me.
All right.
And if you want to order one from Alabama Booksmith, and I think they're at alabamabooksmith.com, if you want to order one and have it personalized, I live 5 minutes away from Alabama Booksmith, so if you want to call in there or email and want it personalized to somebody, I can run over there and personalize it to whoever you want me to.
All right, sounds good. We'll have you on again sometime, Steve.
I would love that, and thank you so much for the kind words. I really appreciate it. This, I'm in the process right now of updating the book for next year, and there are going to be a couple of special features. One is, you know, after Nick Saban's latest national championship, I'm going to try and take a look at who is better, Nick Saban or the Bear. And
oh, that'd be good.
That'll get me.
you're gonna get in trouble. That's
a great one.
Yeah, I may have to. I may have to move and change my address or something like that.
That's a good debate. I look forward to that. We'll get with you back when we get that out. Thanks again, Steve. Appreciate it. Gone Pro Alabama Crimson Tide athletes who became legends from Steve Milbrook with us here on the Wake Up Call. Thanks, Steve. Talk to you soon, Steve Milbrook.